Ode Global Media News. WWR. Old Westbury Web Radio.
Welcome to Global Media News from OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Luca DiMatteo.
And I'm Catherine Frame. Global Media News is usually broadcast live from Studio A on the green campus of the SUNY College at Old Westbury. But this week,
coming to you from Glen Cove, we have a report from Natalia Ventura.
Natalia will explain the digital divide that is keeping students out of their virtual classrooms. Can we bridge the digital divide?
From Lindenhurst, we have John Greenberg reporting on the taming of Animal Crossing in China.
Why does the Chinese government seem nervous about Animal Crossing New Horizons? Is it as popular in China as it is here?
From Brooklyn, we have Global Media News reporter Melania Marquez.
Melania Marquez is looking into the TikTok takeover of hashtag quarantine. Should we be dancing during a public health crisis?
From New York City, we have Corey Sudu reporting on Zoom using his phone. Shouldn't he have recorded a Zoom meeting?
Is Zoom a threat to your privacy? Should all communications and data be encrypted? Corey Sudu has the answers.
From Franklin Square,
Diana Pignatelli wants to tell us about cloud clubbing in China and Zoom parties in the USA. What are people up to in Italy? And how are we entertaining ourselves when the world seems to be shut up at home?
From beautiful Massapequa,
Chantel Smith has music for your ears with her report about the many, many artists live streaming concerts for their fans from their living rooms.
From the Bronx,
Jalen Natera has a report on reporting in the pandemic. How are journalists coping with working remotely? Will journalism ever be the same?
From Huntington, Long Island,
Shannon Rulo is ready to tell us about all the TV journalists working from their dining rooms and living room. Can you put on a news show without a studio? We can. This Global Media News podcast is coming to you from all over New York City and Long Island.
My name is Luca DiMatteo, and I'm hosting this podcast from Wantagh, Long Island.
My name is Catherine Frame, and I'm phoning it in from Levittown today.
The schools are closed. Teachers and students have been forced to online for at least the next few months. What about the fall? We don't know how long our schools and colleges stay closed. This is a major disruption of the educational system all across the United States. Can students get on the internet every day to work with their teachers? Do they have the tools, the bandwidth, and a quiet place to work? Do you? Natalia Ventura has a report about the many students who may not be able to access the internet to continue their studies. Natalia, it seems like this is not a level playing field. Start off by explaining to us, what do you mean by the digital divide?
COVID-19 has forced people around the world to transition online for work, entertainment, and even education. So in order for us to stay connected economically, politically, and also socially, it is important for us to have the ability to access computers and the internet. But unfortunately, not everyone is able to access such technology. During this coronavirus pandemic, we are relying on the internet now more than ever before. And one of the demographics most affected by this drastic change of lifestyle due to having to quarantine and social distance are our students. This pandemic increased the impact and effect of the digital divide for students, but the pandemic did not create this divide. Issue of the digital divide is not new. However, it is currently at its most impactful time. When it comes to families having access to the internet, not all are fortunate. But what is a digital divide? A digital divide is a rift between the underprivileged members of our society, especially the poor, rural, elderly, and handicapped portion of the population, who are unable to have access to technological devices such as a computer or the internet, compared to the wealthy, middle class, and even our young Americans living in urban and suburban areas that are able to access the internet and devices such as an iPad or computer. Has any action been made to lower the number of students left without access? Well, in the rural parts of South Carolina, where students are unable to get online to join their virtual classes and complete their assignments, a solution was developed. School districts across South Carolina requested buses equipped with Wi-Fi to be located in low-income and rural areas in order to help students access their schoolwork. Each bus has a router installed inside, and it has the range of a small parking lot. The buses may aid families without access to Wi-Fi, but there's still a digital divide for families unable to afford devices capable of accessing their virtual education classes. Is this an issue across the United States? Absolutely yes. But is it only our country affected by the digital divide? No. The digital divide not only affects students in the United States, but throughout the world. Such as families who live in rural areas of China have students lacking the internet connection needed to be involved with their education. There are parents who are unable to afford multiple devices between them and their children. Also, spotty signals in parts of China's countryside have led students having to hike for hours in the cold to the mountaintops in order to listen to their online classes. In the province of Sichuan, a high schooler was found doing their homework under a rocky outcropping. Also, in the Hebei province, there are two girls who have created their very own classroom on a wooded hillside. Almost half the students in some classes are unable to join in online sessions because their families are without the necessary technological devices. Children who would already struggle with their schoolwork during a normal school week are now experiencing more difficulties in completing their education due to financial and technological obstacles. This epidemic is shining light on how challenging our digital divide is and how unequal access is to the internet. For Global Media News, this is Natalia Ventura, reporting from Glen Cove.
Thanks, Natalia. Let's move from Glen Cove to our reporter in Lindenhurst, John Greenberg.
Let's talk about gaming and the pandemic in China with John Greenberg. John has been following the media news from China, where the government plays a very aggressive role in deciding what kind of media content is permitted. Is Animal Crossing New Horizons a political problem? Internet and mobile gaming platforms are very popular in China. One of the most popular games on the planet right now is Animal Crossing's New Horizons. Can you play Animal Crossing in China? Why not? John Greenberg has the story.
Animal Crossing New Horizons has gained major traction across social media since its release late last month. The newest installment in the series boasts its design of being a deserted island getaway, which resonated with many who are stuck at home worldwide. Even the strictest of governments, China has seen a similar boost in popularity on social media and topics relating to the Nintendo game. In fact, Chinese players are using social media to talk about next to anything about the game. Is Animal Crossing even available in China? Short answer, no. The game is not officially available in the country. The Nintendo Switch only officially became available in the country in December 2019, with only one game available at launch. Mashable SC reports that a total of 3 Switch games are available and can only be accessed through the Chinese eShop with no online multiplayer functionality. Players in China are playing the game with an import, most likely on an imported console with imported controllers. Just recently, the Chinese government has cracked down on the sale of and even temporarily blocked discussion of the game from appearing on Chinese social media websites. What social media platforms are players in China using? For my report, I focus on what players are saying on Weibo. It's a site very similar to how Twitter is used in the United States. Sixtone reports that a hashtag pertaining to the game on the site has been viewed over 800 million times. Western social media sites are behind the Great Firewall of China and are not available within the mainland. Users are using sites like Weibo and WeChat, knowing these websites need to be in close ties with the Chinese government. The sites seem to have gained similar traction relating to Animal Crossing than in the United States. How are Chinese players using social media compared to America? Again, I found that players in China are using social media similar to players in other countries. The game allows players to share custom designs via code with an online subscription. The designs resemble references to pop culture, to virtually any image turned into pixel art. Advocates found highly political content, such as a portrait of Mao Zedong on a player's island, to images calling for Hong Kong's freedom. Similar to what can be found in the United States, I found players generally sharing tours of their island or other oddities found in-game. Online functionality is really major in how social media is being used supplementary to the game worldwide. I found the difference to be the content shared, rather than a complete 180 on what could possibly be shared about the game. How can social media use be dangerous to players? Even in the United States, there is tons of unofficial, supplementary content for the game that more naive players could be ripped off. A columnist, who reports on video games as they relate to Asia, found a player who's exchanging in-game items for cash. To do this, the player implemented QR codes relating to their WeChat Pay or Alipay through the in-game design system. These apps work similar to what would be used as Venmo or PayPal in the United States. A player desperate enough would think it is acceptable to give a stranger real money in exchange for something in-game. For Global Media News, this is John Greenberg reporting from Lindenhurst.
Thank you, John. Let's get the heck out of Lindenhurst and listen to our Global Media News reporter in Brooklyn.
Welcome back. Melania Marquez wants to talk about TikTok. People need a break, something to distract them from all the very sad and dramatic news about the spread of the virus and the tragic number of people who have been lost in this pandemic. TikTok is promoting itself as the place to go when you need a break from the pandemic. Melania, how have TikTok users reacted to the COVID-19 crisis?
The rapid spread of coronavirus, aka COVID-19, has caused government officials to shut everything down in order to keep things under control. And since then, everyone on social media has explained the struggle of being home under quarantine, running out of things to do, and trying to stay busy. However, during this pandemic, I've noticed a huge number of people getting creative on TikTok, using hashtags like coronavirus, social distancing, quarantine life, and hashtag bored. You have medical workers, the young, the old, they're all on this app, using it as their escape to cope with everything.
Some people say that doctors on TikTok are not taking the virus seriously.
People at home can only imagine how stressful and chaotic these hospitals are during this pandemic. Doctors and nurses are literally risking their health to save thousands of patients. They're away from family and they're working long hours. So it's only right that they let their hair down while they have a break to shed some light and make thousands of users smile. Dr. Jason Campbell, also known as a TikTok doc, gathers his colleagues to post TikTok dances, and these viral videos have been making thousands of people smile. They've been gaining millions of users' respect, they're giving hope, and they even started a trend with other medical professionals. This is what he had to say on Good Morning America.
Yeah, we're hanging in there. We're doing as good as we can. People are concerned and nervous, but people are also resilient. And we're just making sure we keep people's spirits and the positivity going here at OHSU.
What are some positive things that came out of this pandemic shown on TikTok?
Since kids are at home from school and adults are working from home or not working at all, there's no better time to make memories than quarantine. Even celebrities are joining in on the fun. LeBron James, Shaq, J-Lo, the Kardashians, literally everyone. Yes, we know TikTok is dominated by the younger ones, but they're introducing the app and teaching dances to older family members so they know what they're doing. Being surrounded by love is something that's constantly reminded during these dark times, and it's bringing families together. The whole world is having mutual feelings about being under quarantine, so get ready for the countless coronavirus and quarantine jokes. Boredom, binge watching, and quarantine food weight gain, everyone is experiencing it. So you know social media has taken the pandemic and added some humor to it. It all started with Cardi B's
coronavirus!
Then there's the thousands of teenage users and adults creating their own challenges, hoping to go viral and become famous. All of these dance challenges to songs like Wiz Khalifa's Something New, baby, come give me something, oh, to Megan Thee Stallion's Savage, I'm a savage, yeah, classy, to Drake's Tootsie Slide,
left foot slide, left foot up.
Were created by bored but talented people on TikTok. There are also other easier trends and life-changing tips to do while on the app as well. But I'm pretty sure people won't take the luxury of being outside for granted ever again. For Global Media News, this is Melania Marquez reporting from Brooklyn.
Thanks, Melania. You are listening to Global Media News, a joint faculty and student production from the campuses of SUNY Old Westbury and our college radio station, OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio. The college at Old Westbury is a part of the SUNY, the State University of New York. Global Media News is proud to have students from all over New York State, representing communities in New York City and Nassau and Suffolk counties.
Let's stay in New York City with Corey Sudu for a report on Zoom and its troubles. Zoom was small, but now it is really, really big, and it continues to grow. But with all this newfound popularity has come many questions about Zoom's rapid rise. Is it safe? Are Zoom's millions of users at risk? What are the issues with this new tech giant? Corey Sudu has dug deep to figure out the key issues for Zoom users to consider. Corey, why is Zoom such a big deal during the pandemic shutdown?
The coronavirus pandemic has forced schools and businesses to transition into an online-only model. In an effort to stay connected and keep businesses and classrooms alive, teachers, professors, and business professionals have to find a way to stay connected. In today's digital age, finding a software to stay connected isn't problematic, as there are many avenues to connect via internet, with the most basic form being email. But there is an app that stuck out as the most effective for the circumstances, and that app is Zoom. So what is Zoom? Zoom is an app that allows its users to have meetings, video webinars, conference calls, phone calls, and chats. Zoom's meeting interface is accessible to users from almost any device through video calling and screen sharing. The app also reads and understands dates, which adds meetings to your calendar to remind and notify users about upcoming meetings. So why Zoom? You don't even have to sign up or download the app to join in on calls. The interface also makes conference calling very easy and streamlined. Plus, multiple people can be on a call. And there are options for video conferencing or just regular phone calls. However, there are some issues with the app. The issues are privacy issues. What are the privacy issues? Well, most users have reported problems regarding their email. The breach of personal information through email is one of the most common faced issues when it comes to privacy and Zoom. The problem lies in Zoom's company directory setting, which automatically adds other people to a list, to a user's list of contacts if they sign up with an email address that shares the same domain. The app is programmed to use domains to group together contacts within the same company, but that same programming hasn't been able to distinguish personal emails. In a quote from Vice, Zoom pooled personal emails with thousands of other people as if they all work for the same company, exposing their personal information to one another. Hackers have also been able to get into conference calling very easy and disrupt the whole workflow and make this privacy issue even more of a problem. So how come there's so many privacy issues with Zoom? Well, Zoom does not support end-to-end encryption, or at least they don't support it throughout the entire website or app. End-to-end encryption is one of the most private form of internet connection and is widely used. Zoom claims to use this privacy setting, but according to The Intercept, the app does not entirely support end-to-end encryption throughout its platform. The app uses end-to-end encryption for very specific situations. For example, if on a conference call, selecting the computer audio option will enable end-to-end encryption. But if phone calls are used as the audio option, then there is no end-to-end encryption. This may be unbeknownst to users because Zoom claims that it uses end-to-end encryption, and while it does, there is no indication by the app that at any point it doesn't use the most secure form of privacy. Since the controversy about Zoom's privacy, Zoom has published a blog about the privacy concerns, essentially admitting that their program does not support end-to-end encryption site-wide. They've issued an apology and explained how they use end-to-end encryption, but they had made no indication that they are going to work and fix the problem by enabling end-to-end encryption site-wide. For Global Media News, I'm Corey Sidhu reporting from Queens, New York.
Thank you, Corey. Let's get back to Long Island to hear from our Global Media News reporter in Franklin Square.
Diana Pignatelli wants to know what we are doing to keep our sanity during the pandemic. How are people entertaining themselves while stuck at home? Diana has a report that spans the world from China to the United States to Italy. How are people spending their time?
Since nightclubs and bars are closed and music festivals have been canceled, one way people are staying entertained is with this new trend called cloud clubbing. According to MSN.com, cloud clubbing is where people can watch live DJ sets and send in messages to give them the feeling that they're in a club. The cloud clubbing events usually take place on apps such as Douyin, China's TikTok. Even though this trend started in China, other countries around the world have been doing it, so the same thing. It is also a way for the DJs to get paid during this difficult time. A lot of people have been saying positive things about the experience. Obviously, it's not like being in a real club, but people are still pouring drinks for themselves and dancing in their rooms as if they're really at the club. The type of music that goes on during these concerts is mostly techno and EDM. Those are just some of the music genres that people have been listening to. What else have people been doing in their free time? People have also been using the video app Zoom as a way to stay connected with friends, family, and work colleagues. There have been Zoom Netflix parties, dance parties, book clubs, art classes, and game nights. On other video calling apps, there are virtual fitness classes, church services, and dinner parties. Everything that people would do in person with friends have been going on Zoom. It's a creative way to keep in touch. One writer from the New York Times, Kevin Roos, said, "But if there is a silver lining in this crisis, it may be that the virus is forcing us to use the internet as it was always meant to be used, to connect with one another, share information and resources, and come up with collective solutions to urgent problems." People are definitely becoming more creative with how they stay in touch with each other, because no one knows for certain when this is going to end. In Italy, citizens are put on a total lockdown. According to Mashable.com, the country is still finding ways to have fun together. Videos of people all over Italy are singing and dancing and holding concerts from their balconies are going viral on social media. Some are prearranged flash mobs, some are spontaneous, but all are warm and heartening and good for morale. This is showing the rest of the world how to make the best of a bad situation. People all over Italy are on their balconies, they're playing instruments, singing, dancing, having a great time. These stories are popular because a lot of people are tired of seeing and hearing sad stories on the news every day. I know we have to hear them, but you need a little break once in a while. With these videos going viral on social media, it gives people hope that we are going to be okay and that everything will be back to normal soon. No matter how bad life may seem, there will always be something that will make you smile. For Global Media News, this is Diana Pignatelli reporting from Franklin Square.
Thanks, Diana.
Chantel Smith is coming to us from Massapequa with news about listening to music in these tough times. Artists are giving concerts for their fans on streaming media. Is this changing how we get together? Can we be in a crowd and at the same time alone in our own rooms? Let's hear from Chantel Smith.
Music is a love language. We all understand there is a song for everyone, whether it's jazz, blues, rock, pop, R&B, or electronica. We can all find a sense of solace when music is playing. The coronavirus has torn us away from our normal routines, but has allowed us to commune with our favorite artists in intimate settings, allowing us to commune with others all over the world who enjoy the same genre of music. What is live streaming? We see live streaming being an instant outlet and tool that keeps artists connected to their fans. Unlike pre-recorded videos that can be cut and edited, live streaming is just that, live and uncensored. Big Room TV, a live streaming service that can air from individual venues without camera people, says live streaming was already growing more popular, but COVID-19 pandemic has put more eyes on this potential than ever. We hope we have some positive role to play in not only helping the music industry to recover some of its lost venue, but more importantly, also giving people an outlet to connect when they're feeling increasingly isolated, says Big Room TV. Isolation has many people jumping at the chance to for interaction with the rest of the world. The cancellation of concerts, the closing of various venues such as bars, restaurants that would normally host various artists as a form of entertainment, has given artists a way to express their talents and gifts outside of these confines. Though these artists are usually seen in their homes, it gives them the freedom to perform without a plan, which allows fans to sing along or request their favorite song. Various artists have teamed up to provide entertainment and challenges alongside their fellow musicians. Most of your favorite celebrities have participated in various virtual entertainment opportunities. The Virtual Showdown, which began with the Battle of the Beats between star producers Swiss Beats and Timbaland, and the music icons passed the torch to songwriters and singers such as Sean Garrett and The Dream. The songwriters showed up with 25 songs each, with every selection turning up the heat. There has also been quarantine parties hosted by various DJs, allowing you to dance the stress away on Instagram as well as Facebook, creating a sense of nostalgia and ultimately a good time. These live streaming outlets are giving many of us a chance to decompress, offering a new experience. Live streaming will change the way artists interact with their fans by getting to know what people really like, so that when they are finally able to entertain in large venues again, they will have a new audience of people who they've acquired through social media. For Global Media News, this is Chantel Smith, reporting to you from Massapequa, New York.
Thank you, Chantel. It is time to hear from the Bronx and our reporter, Jalen Napera.
How do reporters report remotely? Can you keep a safe distance from a story? What is the impact of the pandemic on journalism and journalists? Jalen Natera is on the beat for Global Media News today. Is the business of journalism and reporting changing to meet the challenges of the coronavirus?
How has the coronavirus impacted the media?
The role of a journalist is to educate and inform the public. However, in a crisis where everybody is trying to find answers, false news is created. A lot of these fake stories and solutions are made by journalists and people seeking to provide a solution to an ongoing problem. These fake stories are doing nothing but confusing the public and making it harder for them to stay informed on the real news. According to Journalism Co. UK, there was a race for bringing the news first that did not help the population in this difficult phase. Mastronato believes mistakes in reporting on the coronavirus contributed to the chaos and confusion over its spread in the country. Some outlets have reported draft laws as definitive, and false stories have also circulated the mainstream media. In efforts to provide solutions and content quickly, journalists are writing fake stories about the virus. These fake stories are confusing the public and causing even more bizarre fake news and solutions about the virus. Media in the age of the coronavirus have to deal with the inevitable spike of misinformation, hoax, and fake news of all sorts. These tendencies are sometimes boosted by political leaders, by journalists who thunder against misinformation occasionally contribute to it too. Fake news spreads like wildfire when people start to share it. Even politicians are unwittingly sharing false information.
Why are some journalists able to go outside and report about the pandemic?
Those who head outside to the streets are required to have proper documentation of the industry that they are working for and take the proper safety precautions when going to the field. According to Worldometer, with their most recent update, on April 19th, 2020, there are about 178,972 infected and 23,660 deaths in Italy. Italy is currently under a state of lockdown where only the enforcement officers are allowed to patrol. Journalists have been forced to quarantine themselves in their homes, where it has been harder for them to perform their jobs because they aren't on the field. These journalists are risking it all to carry out their duties of a public informant. Although they are risking it all to get a story, they speak about the difficulties of reporting in these circumstances. According to The Guardian, "Sitting by the lake, I had a feeling that life as we knew had stopped. By the end of the day, 3 people died of the virus and 152 were infected. Covering the coronavirus outbreak, especially in the early stages, has been different in the sense that the threat is there but cannot be properly seen or understood. Coverage needs more caution and planning." Another reason why journalists aren't reporting as much is because they fear contracting the virus from the locations they go to. According to Journalism Co. UK, Uganda has had to take extraordinary measures, such as paying close attention to the distance between herself and her source, and as some people have chosen to wear masks, it can be difficult to hear what they are saying. Journalists are informing other journalists and the government that they need to take serious precautions when actively reporting about this issue.
How are the journalists coping with the limitations in their fields because of the coronavirus?
The coronavirus has put a halt in journalists being able to go to the field and provide that information for citizens. Journalists are now stuck at home, unable to inform the public on the pandemic. Journalists are finding alternative ways to report about the pandemic without even going outside. According to Vanity Fair, "From a journalism standpoint, I've never been more dependent on phone journalism. Even the people you'd want to talk to are in their homes. I keep imagining trying to get there, checking into some hotel, sterilizing everything, and still make a bunch of phone calls, and then having to quarantine myself and be away from my family or even getting sick. Since everyone is quarantined at home, it is harder to interview people. Poor internet connection can cause audio to be misinterpreted, making it much more difficult for journalists to jot down direct quotes and facts." According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, "We all have become almost maniacal with the way we use surgical masks, gloves, and now we even wear white coats like doctors wear. We cover our microphones with protective material, and we keep distance when we interview people, using long microphone stands. These are the measures that journalists are now taking to deliver stories and keep themselves safe while reporting in public."
For Global Media News, I'm Jalen Natera, reporting from the Bronx.
Thanks, Jalen. Let's drive from the Bronx all the way to Huntington for our next report.
Watching the news on TV, did you notice something different about our favorite TV newscasters? They are all working from home. Just like the Global Media News team, Shannon Rulo is working from home and she has a report about why all the television newscasters are working from home these days.
"Every news organization in the country 2 or 3 weeks ago was going 65 miles an hour down the highway with normal operations. And then these last 2 weeks slammed on the brakes and made adjustments across every part of the organization and is now executing editorial under this new normal. Everyone has to pitch in to make these drastic changes possible since news broadcasters are counted as essential." This quote was published by Deadline.com that explains the world was turned upside down in a matter of days. "It's important for the well-being of everyone in the world that we are constantly informed. Things change within hours now." Both Shannon Bream and Benjamin Watson had to set up cameras, backdrops, and lighting equipment, which can be a difficult task if they aren't well-versed in each moving part. These are just a few names of anchors that had to change everything they knew about how to broadcast a news channel. "I heard a statement recently that I agree with. You cannot just tell people what to do and have them believe it's serious. You can give all the facts, but sometimes that doesn't matter. We are being told to social distance and put ourselves in quarantine, but nothing will change unless we see the people preaching it to us also follow the same direction. This was also another huge reason why they are broadcasting from home, to set an example. It's why celebrities are constantly making live videos, proving that they are also taking the needed precautions and staying safe. For Global Media News, I am Shannon Rulo, reporting from Huntington.
Thank you, Shannon. Let's wrap it up.
That's all for Global Media News. A big thanks to my co-host, Catherine Frame, who is hosting from Levittown. And many thanks to our producer and editor, Brendan Laraha, who puts this whole podcast together on his laptop.
Thanks to Luca Di Matteo, my co-host from Wantagh. Today we heard reports from Natalia Ventura in Glen Cove, John Greenberg in Lindenhurst, Melania Marquez in Brooklyn, Corey Sudu in New York City, Diana Pignatelli reporting from Franklin Square, Chantel Smith representing Massapequa, Jalen Natera from the Bronx, and Shannon Rulo checking in from Huntington.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York, College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest posts at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.
Old Westbury Web Radio. Global Media News. In Old Westbury, New York.